We're going to read today from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, John chapter 6. And we begin our reading at the first verse, John 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him or test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. 7 sign miracles. And John says concerning these 7 sign miracles that he has recorded them that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. The first miracle took place at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. That's where the family begins, with the marriage. The second one had to do with the healing of the nobleman's son, because God desires, first of all, a godly seed, and so he brings believers together. He brings a husband and a wife together. But they soon learn that the child that is born into their home is born with an old, sinful nature and needs divine intervention in order to come into the blessing of life. And we saw how that man was restored, that young man was restored to life. And the third miracle has to do with the walk of the believer. We saw in that instance, we're not going to get into that this morning, but you remember in John chapter 5, there's recorded the story of the man who was at the pool of Siloam. This man had been 38 years, which happens to be the same time that the children of Israel were in the wilderness after the law was given. And he's an illustration of the fact that the law never enabled man to get into the blessing of God. There he was, helpless and hopeless. He couldn't walk. The Bible says, by the law is the knowledge of sin, but there's never been a man living that's been able to keep the law except the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle says, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. And that man discovered that day, which all of us need to discover, that the only way that we can come into the blessing of God is by the grace of God. And the Lord Jesus enabled that man who had never been able to take a step in his life to walk. And that's a wonderful thing that he does for every believer. That's what it says in Romans chapter 8. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, for what the law could not do. It could not do. There was nothing wrong with the law. It's called holy and just and spiritual and good. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, man could never produce. the righteousness which God demanded. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh hath condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness which is of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God, by his Spirit indwelling the believer, enables him to walk a life that pleases God. In fact, we're exhorted to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And the world will never be convinced of our witness if our walk is not right. And what we're going to consider this morning is the witness. For you see, God's intention is not only that you should come into the blessing, but his intention is that we should go out and share the message of the gospel with others. And every one of the gospels gives us the Great Commission in one form or another. In Mark, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Matthew, says, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Luke tells us, the Lord Jesus said to them that repentance and remission of sins was to be preached in his name throughout all nations. In John's Gospel, Lord Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. When we turn to 1 John, we read why the Father sent the Son. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And this Gospel that was first preached by our Lord Jesus Christ is that which we are meant to share. It says in Hebrews, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken to us by the Lord, but was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And when the Lord Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, he says, Father, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Go and make disciples. We're meant to pass on the message as well. And so in this chapter, we have the witness of the believer suggested to us in this very beautiful incident in the life of our Lord Jesus. This is the fourth of those seven sign miracles. It's the central one. And it should be central in our thoughts. We mentioned the other day that seven times you read the statement of the Lord Jesus, I am, linked with some other expression. And the first time that expression is used, linked with any other expression, is in this chapter, I am the bread of life. That's what the world is. Number one, I am the bread of life. And we have been put in trust with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a message. What a message. Marvelous that God has not only saved us by his grace, but he has put us in trust with the gospel. I heard a story one time about a man who had a dream. And in his dream, he saw a sign on a church building and said, the Apostle Peter will preach here tonight and tonight only at 7:30. And then he saw another church building, another sign. It says, the angel Gabriel will preach here tonight and tonight only at 7:30. And then as he was in his dream was wondering, who should he go to listen? Should he go to listen to Peter or should he go to listen to the angel Gabriel? Boy. Same time, he couldn't listen to both. No tape recorders. Who's he going to listen to? And in his dream, he saw a figure coming towards him. And the fellow said, I guess you're wondering who you should go to hear to preach tonight. 7:30. Yes, he said, that's what I was wondering about. He said, well, my name is Cornelius. And I had a message from heaven. And the message from heaven was this, call for Peter, and he shall tell thee words whereby thou shalt be saved. God did not commit the message of the gospel to angels to preach. Though angels may with rapture see how mercy flows in Jesus' blood, it is not theirs to prove as we the cleansing virtue of that blood. And when we sing redemption story, angels fold their wings, for angels never felt the joy that God's salvation brings. We have been put in trust with the gospel. Every believer has a responsibility, not just the preacher. We are all put in responsibility of sharing the message. And what a message it is. Well, it says Jesus saw a great company come unto him, and he asked them, we're going to buy bread that these may eat. It says he knew what he was going to do beforehand, but he asked this to test them. And Philip said, well, 200 penny worth of bread. I don't know, he may have checked the treasury. That may have been all they had. Judas was carrying the bag, but that may have been all they had. That's not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. There were 5,000 men beside women and children. I don't know how many were there. It might have been 15 or 20,000. Who knows? 5,000 men, it says, beside women and children. Tremendous crowd. And Andrew comes and says, there's a lad here. You ever been on a picnic? And in the days when we used to have a soda pop, not like they do now in a can, you know, you remember back that far where they had Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola and they had the bottle cap on it, and you'd go on a picnic and somebody would say, anybody got a bottle opener? I've got three of them at home, the guy says. Well, three of them home aren't going to do you any good. A lot of these people had lunch back home, but there is a lad here. He's here. Didn't have much. But a little is much when God is in it. There's a lad here. He's got five barley loaves. Barley was the food of the poor. Five little buns. And two small fishes. But what are they among so many? You know, Andrew, we looked at the little supply, five little buns and two small fishes. He could count. And he looked at the great multitude. He probably couldn't count them. There's so many. What are they among so many? He knew how to add. But the Lord knew how to multiply. He didn't know how to multiply. He knew how to add. There's a lad here. You know, the lad was one that was provided by the Lord just as well as the little buns that he had. He provided the boy, and he provided the five loaves and the two small fishes. What are they among so many? Well, the Lord said, make the men sit down. You know, people always want to be up and doing. When it comes to the gospel, the first thing that God wants a person to do is to rest. Sit down. Watchman Nee wrote a book on the Epistle of Ephesians, and he called it Sit, Walk, and Stand. Sit. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together. When you're sitting, you're not working. You're resting. And the first thing that God wants man to do is to rest. I have a brother who used to quote that, not my physical brother, spiritual brother, used to quote that verse, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. You don't have to do a blessed thing, he would say. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. When God made the world and made man, on a sixth day he made man, and he made the man first, or the woman would have been telling him how to make the man, I suppose. And God made the world and made man last, or man would have been telling him how to make the world. And then after he had got all the work done, he says, tomorrow's a holiday. God didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because the work was done. He said, now I want you to celebrate the holiday with me. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did on the cross when the work was all done. He said, it is finished. He said, now I want you to rest in that. Sit. He made the men to sit down. He makes me, the psalmist says, to lie down in green pastures. That's how the psalm begins. The first thing God wants us to do is to sit down and rest. Rest in his provision. Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks and he distributed it to his disciples. He took it from the hands of the boy, the little that he had. Didn't think it was much. But you know, the Lord can use the simplest thing to accomplish his purpose. I don't know if jackasses could talk. I know of one that we read in the Bible that did talk. Balaam. What would you think that about that one that the Lord said, says you go in there and you're the place where two ways meet, you'll see a colt and the mother there says, you bring that colt and the Lord hath needed him. A jackass? Lord hath needed him, yes. Don't have to be much or have much. God can use the simplest of us. The Lord took this little boy and took the little that he had and he gave thanks to the Father for them. And then he gave it to the disciples. And the disciples to the multitude. Can you imagine when the little boy might have said, not on your life. That's my lunch. You're not taking my lunch. I believe he volunteered. It doesn't say that. There's a lad here. All that crowd, and nobody else had anything, but this little boy brought his lunch. 5 little buns and 2 small fishes. And he might have said, that's just enough for me. I'm not giving it to anybody. But he didn't. He put the little that he had. It wasn't much. But he put the little that he had into the hands of the Lord. And the Lord thanked the Father for that little bit that little boy had that he entrusted into his care. He blessed the bread and the fish. Then he gave it to the disciples. All these disciples of the Lord, these 12 apostles of his. Can you imagine how small a portion each of them had when he divided? Those 5 little buns and those 2 small fishes. That's just enough for a mouthful. He didn't load them all with a great big gunny sack in the back. And they were staggering under a load of bread and fish that weighed about 150 pounds apiece. He didn't do that. He divided the little bit that had been given to him by the boys, and they each had a little handful. And they came along to the first person and said, help yourself. And they helped themselves. They went to them, help yourself. And the more they shared it, the more it grew. There is that which scattereth and yet increaseth. It's a spiritual truth. The more you give away the bread of life, the more you keep it. John Wesley said, what I gave, I have. But what I kept, I lost. Every Sunday school teacher, every preacher of the Word, everyone that shares the Word of God and witnesses has discovered the fact that the more you give it away, the better you keep it. There is that which scattereth and yet increaseth. That's what the Word of God says. Years ago, I was driving in my car and I was listening to the radio, and they had some kind of, it wasn't a hillbilly program on, but it was some kind of music, and they were singing this song. Maybe some of you might have remembered it, and I thought it was so interesting. One voice said, "My boomerang won't come back. My boomerang won't come back." And the other voice said, "The secret, I know it. And to you, I'm going to show it. If you want your boomerang to come back, you've got to throw it." And that's exactly what God says. "Cast your bread upon the waters, and ye shall find it after many days." You keep giving away what God has given to you, and it'll come back. It's the law of sowing and reaping. And the apostle says, "He which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth abundantly shall also reap abundantly." That little fellow, he must have been utterly amazed as he saw that little that he put in the hands of Christ. Multiplied to feed all that crowd, 5,000 men besides women and children. Well, Philip had said, 200 penny worth of bread, everyone will take a little, but God doesn't deal in little. Our God is a God of abundance. "In my Father's house there is bread enough and to spare." Remember that? Everything God does is abundance. Somebody has said, "Perhaps you can count the number of acorns on a tree, but no one has ever been able to count the number of oak trees in a single acorn." Our God is a God of abundance. I read one time an amazing statement, and I can't vouch for its veracity, but it said this: every human being in this world, over 5 billion people, came into being from sperm from the male side that could be contained in a container the size of a thimble. And every being in this world from the female side came into this world, the eggs could have been contained in a container the size of a chicken egg. And God has taken from that small beginning and populated this world. We sing, "How great thou art." And we may think that the little that we do can't amount to anything, but God can take little things. He delights to take the little things of the world, things that are nothing, the apostle says, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Every one of them may take a little, but when the Lord provided, it says, everyone took just as much as they wanted. The little boy could have kept it all to himself. Swallow those 5 buns, those 2 small fishes. Each of the apostles that he could have taken their part said, "I'm not giving my share away." But they discovered that as they each passed on what they had received, all of them got more. They were all full. And on top of that, they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. And the Lord said that nothing should be lost. When they were filled, they gathered up the fragments that remained. The Lord allowed the boy to do what he could do. He allowed the disciples to do what they could do. And then he did what he alone can do. Paul can plant, Apollos can water, but only God can give the increase. But he can take the little what we have, and as we share the Word of God with those that we meet at school and at work and at play, God can take the little that we put in his hands as we sow the Word of God. It is not our job to make it work. It's our job to share it. Paul, writing to Timothy, didn't say, prove the Word of God. He said, preach it. The Word of God can speak for itself. It's living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And in that confidence, we can share the Word of God. He used the disciples to distribute the food. He used the disciples to feed the crowd. That's the way he feeds people. Mark tells us he sat them down in companies by hundreds and by fifties. And he's still doing that. I don't know how many are here tonight, this morning rather. Maybe 100 people. But that's the way he feeds his people. He sits them down in companies. And thank God for all the companies of God's people scattered throughout the world. Doesn't have to be 100, it doesn't have to be 50. But God is a God of order. And he draws his people together in companies. And we're told that for our spiritual welfare, as well as for the spiritual welfare of others, we're to meet in companies. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. The Lord is coming. And in view of that, we're to meet together and seek to strengthen and encourage one another. And what a wonderful opportunity we have in this land where we can meet freely with the blessing of the government upon us and with the protection. And many nations of the world, they do not have that privilege. We can meet as we do today, seated together and sharing the precious things concerning the Word of God. Sat them down in companies because God is a God of order. And we're told to do everything decently and by arrangement, not slipshod. He sat them down in companies. And in this chapter, the Lord Jesus, seven times over, goes on to speak of himself as the bread. You know, they chased the Lord after he went this, accomplished this miracle. He went across the sea. And they came seeking him. He says, you don't seek me because of the miracles that you saw. You seek me because your tummies were full. You ate of the bread that I made. And sometimes people can come to the Lord Jesus for the wrong reasons. Often on the mission field, they're called people who come just for the benefits of the missionary convenience, and they call them rice Christians. They come for the food and the material blessings. And the Lord Jesus said, that's the reason that you seek me. But he says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. So don't make your object in life merely what you get to provide food on your table for your children to eat. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Many years ago, my father was preaching in a prison in Wisconsin. And after they got through preaching, went around and they started giving gospel tracts to the various individuals that were in the prison. And he handed a tract to this fellow. He says, I don't want that. I'm no goat. I don't eat paper. My dad said, I didn't give it to you to eat. I gave it to you to read. He says, I don't want it. He says, what we need in this prison is some decent food. The food they give you here in this filthy prison in Wisconsin isn't fit for a pig to eat. Well, my dad said, my advice to you is, don't eat it then. He says, I don't know of any law in the books of Wisconsin that you have to eat. He said, yeah. But if I don't eat, I'll die. He said, yes, and if you do eat, you'll die. Someday you're going to face death. It's appointed that a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. He says, this little paper is telling you about that. And if you had steak every day of your life, there's someday you're going to take your last meal on earth. And the Lord Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world
and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Ah, said the Lord Jesus, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. And seven times over in this chapter, he refers to himself as bread. I am the bread. They were just feeding on those five loaves and two fishes, and they thought that was the greatest thing in the world. But you know, the Lord has been multiplying the bread of life in the lives of countless millions. Have tasted of the Lord, and they proved him to be good. I am the bread of life, he said. He which eateth of me shall never hunger and never thirst. I am the living bread, he said, which came down from heaven to give life unto the world. They said, show us a miracle. Our fathers, Moses did something. Now he fed some people. You think this is something. You feeding these 5,000 people, beside men and women and children. What's so great about that? Moses, he fed the people for 40 years with the bread from heaven. The Lord says, yeah, but where are all those people that Moses fed? Their carcasses fell in the wilderness. But he says, he that eateth the bread that I shall give him shall live forever. I am the bread of life. Life is found in the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you tasted? Have you found him to be good? Has he satisfied your heart? Then the Lord says, my purpose for you is that you share that bread with others. Take the little that you have and put it into my hand. And I'll feed the multitude. He uses our hands. He uses our lips. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, David says. And think of it. We have the bread of life. We have God's word. And it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Isn't it wonderful that God has commissioned us to share that which has fed our soul with others? And the wonderful thing is, the more we share it, the more we keep it. May God help us to pass it on to others for his name's sake and for their good. In Jesus' name. Our Father, we're thankful for this dramatic story in the life of our Lord Jesus. So important is it that it is the only one of his miracles that are recorded in each of the Gospels to tell us how important it is to him and to us. And we pray that we may not be so selfish that, having tasted of the Word of God ourselves, that we have no concern for others still starving in this world when we have the only thing that can meet the needs of men, thyself. We seek thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus.